Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United and its updates around strikers. We're going to be starting off with Jonathan David, Victor Gyökeres and also Osimhen, all updates around Manchester United. But is it a sad truth for Ruben Amorim that he may not get any of those players this summer transfer window and could be watching them play for rivals? Also, Ineos put a block on a Paul Pogba return to Manchester United. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? No, 62% of you wouldn't want him back, but 38% of you would want him back. There's a live poll at the moment. We'll get onto that as well. Xavi's looking for a job in the summer. We'll be talking about that too. Is the European transfer market going to mess up Manchester United's prospects as well? Do Nottingham Forest show a pathway to the top four for Manchester United next season? And obviously it's protests tomorrow. So lots to talk about this morning. But let's get straight into the news, by the way. Let's start off by talking about some of the stuff that's coming out this morning. And we can give some reaction on that as well. I suppose significantly, coming in from Portugal, Gyökeres has expressed his desire to leave Sporting this summer. Manchester United face competition from Arsenal and Chelsea. Also, Barcelona, Bayern Munich and PSG are all interested. That's coming in from Record. Caught offside are saying that Jonathan David has rejected approaches from Brighton and West Ham as he wants to go to a top six club. That's us out then. And Manchester United and Chelsea are two of the clubs more interested in him. He will not make a rush decision and is taking his time. Remember, Jonathan David is out of contract this summer. And also coming in from Caught Offside, Arsenal will meet with agents of Osimhen ahead of a potential summer move. Man United, Chelsea and PSG will also be three teams to watch in the race for Osimhen. So three strikers there, all linked to Manchester United and other clubs. But I think there's a sad truth here. And look, I think we all know the number one striker target for Ruben Amorim is going to be Gyökeres. This is like a relationship where you know this person so well and you know you can work together, but you're probably going to see them walk off into the sunset with somebody else. And that is the sad truth of the situation that Gyökeres and Ruben Amorim find themselves in. I think he's perfect for Manchester United. Like, this system that Ruben Amorim plays is so specific. Had a fantastic, in fact, we'll get into these messages a little bit later because I think they're always worth bringing in. And James sent us a message about Mainoo saying that I feel Mainoo is too slow for the defensive midfield role, especially in front of a slow back four or five. If he wants to play in the advanced positions, Amad and Bruno are ahead of him. So actually, if you can get £60-70 million for Mainoo, maybe you would take it when you can't fit him into your system. Now, that's James's point. Maybe some of you agree with it or not. But what it comes back to is that we have got a system that is very, very specific. And Mainoo may work in a different system and may not work in this system. And Garnacho may work in a different system and not work in this system. Marcus Rashford actually doesn't work in this system, does he? He's probably the best example. Put him in a 4-3-3 with a wide left player, Marcus Rashford's fine. Put him in a 3-4-3 where there's no wide left player unless you want to be a defender, and he doesn't work. So I think that Ruben Amorim's system is so specialist, and this is what we've gone with. You know, if you don't like it, blame Ineos. They went with this. And if you're going to have this system, you want the specialist that can play it. Well, hello, my name's Gyökeres. I can play this system. He's absolutely perfect for Manchester United. But I just don't see us doing this deal. We've already been briefed, haven't we, by the media 2 weeks ago that Man United don't want to buy players over 26. So I think the sad truth is you bring a manager in, you've got a striker that's absolutely perfect for this system, and then he's going to be playing for Barcelona or Arsenal or Chelsea next season, while Man United end up with God knows what. So, yeah, I think Gyökeres is going to leave Sporting, and I think Manchester United should be looking at that deal. And I think he's universally every Man United's fan's number one choice for a multitude of reasons. And I think he would come to Manchester United and play for Ruben Amorim. But financially, I don't see how we do this deal, and we're already writing ourselves off from it. That leads us to Jonathan David. Now, with Jonathan David, he's out of contract in the summer, and his current wage in France is about £35,000 a week. Well, hello, I'm Ineos. I'm getting excited. Yes, free transfer, maximum £80,000 a week wages. Gyökeres, you can get lost. You know, I think that's the sort of thing that we're probably going to do because of financials. And some people would say, well, it's the right thing to do. Jonathan David's 26 next January. You know? Gyökeres is 27 in the summer. There's 18 months between them. And one of them suits our system perfectly. And the other one could flop from the French league, because it can happen. So, look, I think it's a sad truth. And I think it's a reality of a situation that we're all fully aware of, that, look, we're going to get linked to Osimhen. We're going to get linked to Gyökeres, but we're probably going to end up with Sox. And yeah, you know, the run-up to Christmas, you're getting linked to an Xbox, you're getting linked to a PS5. You know, you're sitting on Santa's lap and he's saying, what do you want for Christmas? And you're saying, I want a PS5. And he's not going to say no, is he? He's got other things to worry about. But you're going to get Sox. I think it's the sad truth. And what I find incredible, and we'll talk about the Pogba thing next, what I find incredible is that we clearly have got people who haven't got a bloody clue what they're doing, because I know football, you know football, and when I look at Man United's situation with Erik ten Hag after that West Ham game, when they sacked him because Michael Oliver on VAR gave a dodgy penalty, I'll always remember that. They sacked ten Hag because of a penalty. If he'd have drawn that game, they wouldn't have sacked him. No way. So they sacked him at that moment because of a penalty. They then went into the international break and recruited Amorim, who is a specialist coach, and they're now not going to give him specialist players. And I think that's the bottom line, isn't it? Like, if you're going to recruit Amorim, you've got to give him specialist players. If you're going to recruit Pep Guardiola, you've got to give him players that can play Pep football. And if we're not going to give him them players, and we're going to go, we know Gyökeres is the player you want, but look at Jonathan David. Yeah. Come on, get excited, Ruben. Why are you getting excited? We're excited. Omar, do a dance. And you, Sir David. We're all excited here. Come on, you've got to pump it up. It's great, isn't it? Shake your booty. Come on, yeah. Forget Gyökeres, it's Jonathan David. And guess what? We've saved a load of money. And Ruben Amorim's going to go, yeah, you brought me here to do a certain thing, and you're not giving me specialist players. And that, to me, is the issue, isn't it? As for Osimhen, look. I don't even need to say this. If by some miracle we did get Gyökeres or we did get Osimhen, you'd still have to solve the problem of creating chances for them, wouldn't you? And I'm still getting trauma from Dalot not putting that cross in. And you know what's really, really making me laugh? Is that last night I was on Instagram, and the amount of clips I saw of Dalot on that night out 2 weeks ago, looking before he crosses the road. And I'm like, mate, he can cross the fucking road, but he can't cross a fucking ball. He can look to cross the road, but he can't look to play a bloody simple pass. I think it's a sad truth, isn't it? Let's get more to the now. Remember yesterday afternoon I put that tweet out about Mainoo, and then it broke on the evening. I don't know whether this will break, because I don't know whether it's significant enough. Some people might say it's logical, but just some inside information around Paul Pogba and a return to Manchester United. Ineos are blocking this. This won't happen, because basically, it's about this. So, look, would you take Paul Pogba back at Manchester United? 60% of you are saying no. 40% of you are saying yes. He can be back playing football in the middle of March. That's when his ban comes to an end. Obviously, he's going to need to do a little bit of fitness work. Man United are massively short on midfielders. Would you bring Paul Pogba back? For me, it's a no. But from Manchester United, it's a hell no. Like, and it really doesn't come down to what his ability is or whether he can help us out or whether he'd be a PR nightmare. Or it's nothing to do with that. The information that we've had this morning is it's financial. Ineos won't go anywhere near this because Pogba won't do a pay-as-you-play, but also he's going to want around 150 grand a week. Now, they're saying no to Mainoo for 150 grand a week, but more importantly, they said no to Tell in January. Like, we haven't got the money to go and spend 600 grand a month on Paul Pogba. So it's a financial thing. We won't do it. And regardless of whether Ruben Amorim's knocking on the door saying, just give me some bloody midfielders, I'm trying to win you this Europa League and get you 80 million. And that's the way I always look at it. It's the same way I looked at it in January. Liverpool have made £90 million from the Champions League this season. £90 million, and we're not even into the quarterfinal. If we qualify for the Champions League, we're going to make 80 million quid. And you've got Ineos there going, no, we're not going to write a cheque for 600 grand a month. This is what should have happened in January. We should have speculated to accumulate, and we haven't done it. But if you're hoping for a Paul Pogba return, it's not the official line, but the line coming out is that there ain't no way Ineos are writing cheques for anything at the moment. There's a lot of jokes going around there at the moment, but apparently they're feeding the players baked beans on a Friday night so they can have a bubble bath on a Saturday. Things are getting that bad. So look, they're not going to write that cheque. Should they or not? Look, honestly, I'll stick to what I've said. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Paul Pogba hasn't played at the highest level for about 2 years. He's into his early 30s. He was very injury prone at Juventus before the ban. And you're bringing him in to a very intense situation where you'd probably want him to be involved every 3 or 4 days. I don't think that makes any sense, really. However, what I will always say is, would you take something over nothing? I mean, at the moment, I would have Weghorst at Manchester United just to have another striking option. So, you know, I do agree with that. I would sign him, but only till the end of the season, says Tusha. Almost Malone. And look, Paul Pogba on 150 grand a week for 3 months is going to cost you 1.8 million. There's no way the club are going to sign that. Because that's the club we are at the moment. And I got a very good message from an Everton fan, actually, who basically said that, you talk about Man United not being able to get top four, but look at Nottingham Forest last season. They were in a relegation battle and now they're in a race for top four. So what if they can do that, why can't Man United do that? I mean, is it a good point or is it not a good point? But I actually think that it completely misses the point of what the protests are all about tomorrow. And hopefully that's going to make a big splash. Everybody should be talking about that. Everybody should be sharing that. Everybody should be behind that. Nottingham Forest's owner, twice, I think, in the last 12 months, has bought up shares to somehow get money into the club. He's an ambitious owner. And he wants that team to be successful on the pitch. And lo and behold, they are. Our owners aren't like that. So you can't look at someone like Leicester, who went from relegation to winning the league, or Nottingham Forest from relegation battle to top four, and go, well, Man United are a bigger club than them. Why don't they do it? Well, this is the whole bloody point. We don't need to compare ourselves to Nottingham Forest or Leicester. We are Manchester United and we should be in the bloody top four every year. But we're not because of our owners and the appetite for success. I could take this team to top four next year. You could take this team to top four next year if you were in charge. I'd need a bit of money, but if I was a billionaire, like Sir Jim Ratcliffe is, like the Glazers are, and let's just remember that. I don't see this get mentioned enough. The Glazers are billionaires. They've got the money, personally. They've got the money. We say, oh, wouldn't it be great to have an owner like Newcastle or Qatar or whatever? They already are billionaires. It never gets mentioned enough. They're not sat in Tampa, you know.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Doing scratch cards and feeding themselves water and bread. They are billionaires already. They can bring the money in, but they don't want to. Their appetite is not to make us successful. The appetite is to get money out of us. You know? We're Cinderella, basically. If you've ever seen the film Cinderella, we are Cinderella. And they are the evil stepmother. They've got us there, this beautiful thing, in shabby clothes, cleaning up for them, and they're living off our glory. I would sign him, but only to the end of the season. Garnacho, Mainoo, Anthony, Malacia, Rashford. Sell them all to actually fund player Amram needs. Total clear out has been needed for years, says Shane Matthews. I like Garnacho, but he's got to go, says Shiran. Almost Malone, thank you very much. Great point about that super chat there from Shane Matthews, by the way. Garnacho, Mainoo, Anthony, Malacia, Rashford. Great point I'm going to come back to on that. Absolutely fantastic. And you've just reminded me of a point that came in from one of you lot. But I'll tell you what did come in from one of you lot, and I'm not going to be shy about saying this. So we were meant to be giving some tickets away for some really good tickets right at the front. Let me just show you where they would have been. So this is the, this is the venue we're going to be at in Dublin a week on Wednesday. So right on the front row, we had some tickets that we were going to give away from AJ, who is a huge fan from New Zealand, based in Barcelona, and big fan of United Stands. And basically, he's a United Stand member and purchased a top ticket for the live show, stalls row A, which is right at the front there, and wanted to give them away. However, he's just messaged us and said, you know what? I was going to give the ticket up, but fuck it, I'm coming. I've just booked my flights and a hotel for a few days. It's my first trip to Ireland. I'm coming from New Zealand. Everyone says great scenery, but I've seen that. I hear the Irish people are amazing, and I know the United Stand are worth it. So AJ is coming. So we haven't got tickets to give away anymore, but we have still got some tickets. This venue is amazing. I've been sent so many pictures of it. So you got the ground level there. You got the middle row. Top level, it's like a three-tier stadium. It's like the Nou Camp. The view from there is amazing. I would probably sit up there if I was going, but that's just me. But look at it. That's the venue we're going to be in. And you can still get tickets for it. As I say, scan the QR code or the links in the video description. Can't wait to see you there. Got Danny from the script. He's confirmed he's going to be there. Got Beth and Ricky. I've got a game show I'm doing. And I might be, look, there's a couple of people from the chat who are going to be at the show that I'm going to use for that. So it's going to be great. Also had another message, just going back to, get your tickets, by the way, but just going back to another message that we had from James, and that super chat there, and the talk about a striker, and the talk about a progressive summer transfer window. I think James makes a great point here. When you talk about Real Madrid, Barcelona and PSG, obviously outside of the Premier League, they're the clubs with the budgets. Are Real Madrid, Barcelona and PSG going to be knocking on the door for any of our players? Maybe Barcelona coming back in for Rashford. Maybe Real Madrid look at Delo. Although if they've been looking at the Prem for the last 4 months, you've got no chance of that. And basically what James was saying is that, look, all these players that Man United are going to sell, that the fans talk about selling, whether it be Garnacho, Mainoo, Rashford, or whoever else you're thinking you're going to get some money for, outside of the Premier League, there isn't really anybody who can do it. Napoli maybe might come in for Garnacho because they've got the Kvaratskhelia money, but there aren't. The European budgets don't match what Premier League clubs want. And unless we're going to sell these people to rivals, which is just totally and utterly unacceptable, really, we don't want to be doing that. We're going to be really restricted in what we do in the summer. And I want to just pick up on what James is saying there, is that we talk about selling these players. I mean, the amount of people I see online or on here going, let's sell Rashford for 45, let's sell Garnacho for 60, and then that's 105 million. And then we don't even need to sell Mainoo, but we've got 105 million of pure profit. And that buys us 90 players worth 100 million pounds because we can just give them a pound a week. And I'm like, this ain't bloody Freeman's catalogue. This is real life. And where are you getting your 60 million for Garnacho from and your 45 million for Rashford from? And when are you getting it? And this is a takeaway from the Friday night show, but it's true. Like, Maybe you can achieve 100 million from Garnacho and Rashford if that's what you want to do, but when are you going to achieve it? And these are things, again, that people walk blindly into a summer transfer window, and this is why the protest and the anger and the frustration is so important. If you're walking into another summer transfer window with a wish and a prayer, you're a prat. You're an absolute prat. I said I'm not doing it this year. The amount of times we've spoken about we need to get rid of this player, this player, this player, this player, and we need to bring in this player, this player, this player. The amount of people are saying to me, what players would you bring in the summer? And I'm going, you know what? For the first summer ever, I don't feel like that. Like, if you were, what goalkeeper would you replace Onana with? Mate, people are protesting tomorrow. The club's in a shit show, and you want me to spend time going, I'd go for this goalkeeper, or this goalkeeper. We're not getting a new goalkeeper. Onana's here next year. Who would you replace Bruno with? I'd get Wirtz, would you? You may as well go and get a packet of Wirtz originals, because you've got, they're more like, we're not getting rid of Bruno either. Like, we've got to be realistic, and even the realistic deals, let's face facts, unless we get that 80 million from being in the Champions League and winning the Europa League, we are broke, and therefore we've got to sell to buy, and we're not going to do that from until at least July the 1st. Marcus Rashford and Garnacho, everybody knows we need to sell them. Everybody knows, whether they like football or not, they know. So do you think you're going to get Barcelona and Napoli there on July the 1st going, what do you want? Write the check. You know, they're going to go, you're desperate. No one else has got the money for these players. And if you're Barcelona and you want Marcus Rashford, you offer 25. And people go, forget it. Oh, forget it. Okay. See you in mid-August. That's 6 weeks away. Yeah, see you in mid-August. The offer's 25 million. And then you're like, okay, who else? And then maybe Aston Villa go, yeah, we'll give you 35. Yeah, we'll take it. And Rashford goes, I don't want to go to Aston Villa. I want to go to Barcelona. I'll wait till the middle of August. You get to the middle of August, you end up doing a deal with Barcelona for maybe 30. But it's the middle of August. And, it's the middle of August. The season's kicked off. And then you're like, what are we doing with that 30? Garnacho, Napoli will give you 45 million. We want 60. See you in the middle of August. Okay. Chelsea come along. We'll give you 55. Are you going to sell him to Chelsea? This is what's going to happen. And you get people going, we'll get 100 million from Rashford and Garnacho, and then we can go out and buy Osimhen and this, that, and the other. Osimhen's already fucking gone by the middle of August. You're scratching your ass thinking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Osimhen's already gone. And Jokeres is already gone, and he's already gone, and he's already gone. And this is what's going to happen this summer transfer window. We're going to be locked in desperately at the end of August selling these players, and then we're going to end up with not as much money and all the targets we've gone want. And if you don't believe that's going to happen, look at what Ineos did last year. We wouldn't buy Ugarte until we'd sold McTominay, and we wouldn't buy De Ligt and Mazraoui until we'd sold Wan-Bissaka. So they won't do that. We already know what they are. Now, there are other clubs out there, Chelsea, etc., who will go, buy the player now, we'll make the money later, which is fine. You know, if you want to buy Osimhen for 60 million and you haven't got the money yet, but you know you'll have it by the middle of August, you buy Osimhen on July the 1st and you get the money in on the end of August. But Man United don't operate like that. In January, we decided not to do the Tell deal because we didn't want to take a risk. Last summer, we didn't do deals until we got the money in. That's obviously the Ineos way. I don't think it's a football way, but it's the Ineos way. We want the money in before we spend it. And I can see this summer transfer window, and James is absolutely correct. The market isn't there for our players. And we're not really going to want to sell them in the Prem because it'll bite us on the arse. So I can see that situation, especially with someone like Rashford, where it's like, we need to sell him on July the 1st to use that money on whoever we want. But Barcelona or someone come in and go, yeah, we'll give you 25. And then Rashford wants to go there. And then you're getting dragged into August. It will happen. And this is something that people need to wake their eyes up to, because it's not going to be a dream summer transfer window. I think it could be the worst summer transfer window we've ever had. We'll end up with some players, and we'll end up with players going, but you won't get your pre-season. And what is the number one thing What is the number one thing you need this summer? It's not a striker. It's not a left back. It's not a right back. It's not a goalkeeper. It's not a holding midfielder. A good pre-season is what we need, because we've got a manager that plays a system that needs a good pre-season. But what's the point in having a good pre-season with this set of players? He needs a good pre-season with his players. And what he's going to get is a pre-season with this lot, and then his players are going to come in really late, and then they won't get a pre-season. And then next season will go like this season, and then the press will be saying, sack him. You read it like a book. You can read it like a book. Isn't the transfer window closing before the opening game of the season as well, making them harder to do good deals? Patrick probably makes a very good point, because the problem with that is I don't know if the transfer window in Europe is going to close before the opening game of the season. So if you are Barcelona and you say, well, our window doesn't close till the end of August and yours does in the middle of August, we could get undersold even more. And the example of that would be our offer for Rashford is 25 million. Man United say they want 40. Then our transfer window closes in the middle of August. Rashford holds out for Barca. Barca know theirs doesn't close till the end of August. And then you're in a position where you're like, you've got to sell cheap. And then your money, look, we're speculating, but it could be a bloody mess. Johnny says, I don't mind players being sold to a Premier League club. I don't see the issue. Yes, they may do well, but if it helps us progress, then that is more important than how well a player does at a Premier League club, says Johnny. I have a problem with it, Johnny. The flip side of the coin is that I was saying this in January, we're Everton. I think our behaviour is very much like Everton now. All respect to Everton, but I think when you start selling your players to rivals, you're basically just Everton. You know, you're selling them to bigger clubs in the same league that you're in. And I think it's desperate. I think it's absolutely desperate. I think unless you're Man City, who can afford Cole Palmer to go to Chelsea for good money because you're a treble winning side, Man United selling off players to rivals, especially when it's people like Mainoo or Garnacho, I just think that's a bad message, really. Let's stay positive, Mark. If they rate Ruben as much as they should, they'll probably get their hands in their deep pockets in the summer, says Almost Malone. How? Positive about what? That's delusion. How are they gonna get the money into the football club, mate? Unless they're gonna clear the debt, I just don't see it. Glazers are worth 10 billion according to Forbes, says Daniel. And it's a good point, Daniel. People don't mention it enough. They are loaded. I don't read it enough. People say let's get Qatar because they're loaded. The Glazers are loaded. They've always been loaded. They are billionaires. They have got wealth. They just don't put it into the club. If you look at how Marianakos built Olympiakos, you see the future of Forest, an owner that loves his clubs and is willing to do anything for them. Not like ours, says Ryan Lord. And Toe Jam says, if the main new wage demand story is true, is he not the textbook definition of a mercenary? Toe Jam, you're all entitled to your own opinions, of course, but I think anybody that's buying the Mainoo story or calling him a mercenary, you are basically what I would call...
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Gullible, and you are also why the Glazers survive. Protests tomorrow. I'd love the game to get called off. That's just my opinion. I do not think it will get called off. I've not heard anything about those sort of things being in place. I think that the 58 are doing an amazing job and everybody should get behind them. But this is about a lawful and legal protest. That's not going to happen. It's going to be a protest about that. And hopefully it will make a big impact. But the Glazers, factually, are manipulators and do divide this fan base and do have fingers in certain fans. who will subtly... Look, what I'm trying to say is the Glazers aren't going to get people in their pocket and say, tweet, the Glazers are great. They're not that stupid. What they will do is they will get people to attack people who are getting close to the truth. For example, if account A is saying stuff about the Glazers that's causing them problems, then you get account B to undermine account A. You don't get account B to start saying the Glazers are great because that won't work. You get account B to start undermining account A and turning people against account A. Now, you look at the last 10 years on social media and tell me that there aren't people who do that, who go after other accounts in different ways. And that's what it is. It's divide and conquer. And if people don't think they don't do divide and conquer, you're foolish. Why do certain journalists around Manchester United get to say what they bloody well like? Because they're also being fed propaganda by the club as well that benefits the club. It's a political animal, Manchester United. There is so much money involved, it's politically run. It's a political business in the sense that the politics aren't to do with, like, you know, society issues. It's to do with maintaining a business and making it make money for people at the very top. So you divide and conquer. Nathan Robertson says, are you doing a watch along for the Sidemen charity match? You know what? I actually am. I didn't think I would, but I am. I am going to do it at 3 o'clock today on That's Football. I'm doing Forest against Man City first, though, at 12:30. Ryle says, hi, Mark. As United is a stock exchange listed company, can't they issue additional Class A shares to get more equity to spend, keep up the great work? I don't know how that works, Ryle, but I do know that it's something that the owner of Forest has done, isn't it? I severely doubt that Maynooz Camp would allow a story like this out during redundancy. It's totally false. Hopefully he'll sign soon, says Steve Woodley. And thank you very much for that, Steve. What else did I want to talk about? I wanted to just mention that Xavi has said that he wants a job in the summer. Now, this is a news show, and I think it's important to mention this is news that Fabrizio Romano is saying that Xavi wants to get a job back in the summer. The reason I mention this is because you know and I know that what will happen here is that we will end up with stories about Xavi to Man United. He'll be the next shiny toy. Xavi to Manchester United will definitely... It's already happened anyway. I find this incredible. And I would hope that intelligent Man United fans don't fall into it. What would the point of sacking Amorim be to bring in Xavi? Can somebody tell me what the point of that is? I mean, I saw Barcelona under Xavi. I saw Xavi at Barcelona. We absolutely haven't got any players that can play his system either. So if you sacked Amorim to bring Xavi in, you'd be in the same problem very, very quickly. You'd have Pratt's pundit saying he needs to go to a park-the-bus counter-attacking style for these players. And he'd be going, I need players to play my system, and clearly these players aren't it. So we always come back to the same thing. Give the manager the freedom to bring in and sell the players he needs to sell. And, you know, this is what needs to happen. Thankfully, what I would say about this Ineos Glazer ownership is that for a completely different reason to you and me, they won't sack Amorim. I wouldn't sack Amorim because I'd be patient. I don't feel like he started his job yet. I think some managers like Jose, Oli, had one arm tied behind their back. I think things are worse than they've ever been at Man United. I actually think Amorim's doing the job with two arms tied behind his back. I mean, it's hard enough with one, but I genuinely feel like he's got two arms tied behind his back. So I want him to stay. I want him to be given time. I want him to be given players. I want him to be given freedom to remove players. That's why I back Amorim. Ineos and the Glazers won't be doing that. That'll be their front. But the real reason will be they can't afford to sack him. So effectively, that'll be the situation. Now, many of you might say, hold on a minute, I'm getting deja vu. I'm Beyonce. You said this in September. There's no way they're going to sack Ten Hag because they can't afford to do it. And they did. And you're right. I remember saying that. And I was surprised that they pulled out 25 million to sack Ten Hag and his team and bring in Amorim and his team. I was very surprised. But ultimately,
200 people have paid with their jobs for that. If we're being honest, the money to sack Ashworth and Ten Hag and bring Amorim in came from sacking people, and we can't do that. So we haven't got the money to do that again. We definitely haven't got 25 million to sack Amorim and bring Xavi in. So I don't worry about stories about Xavi. What I worry about is the media pile on and the morons in our fan base falling for it and creating toxicity, which divides the fan base again and takes us away from what the real issue is. And that's the political arm of it. Amorim's not getting sacked because they can't afford to do it. They just can't afford to do it. Could we see Chelsea sacking Maresca for Xavi, says Robert McCormack. Well, I mean, would Xavi not be, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're talking about other clubs here. Would Xavi not be a good choice for a Man City, potentially? I still think Pep might go in the summer. I still think that was a bit of a cover-up, really. Jack Lynch, thank you very much for your super chat. He says, Maynou doesn't deserve 180k a week, only after 1 year and a half in the first team. Look at Ahmad's 120k a week new contract. We can't have another Rashford, says Jack. Look, I don't know. Some of you will be tuning in late because we had, like, I can tell the numbers go up as the show goes on. As James messaged us and said, let's take emotion out of it. And some people are incapable of doing this. But when you take emotion out of it, you end up with a better conversation. Take emotion out of this. Ignore leaks about wages. Factually, in January, we were told that Maynou wants 200 grand a week. Now we're being told it's 150. I call and smell bullshit. I don't believe the stories about his wage demands. And who is leaking his wage demands? You are. If I'm the agent of Maynou, I am not leaking his wage demands because I am there to represent the best interests of my client. And when people are earning crap wages or struggling, and football wages are so astronomically unrelatable, there's nothing as an agent that's going to make me go, Maynou, let's leak your wages because people are going to be really on your side. 150 grand a week. It's just incredible money, isn't it? So it's never going to come from Maynou's side. So logically, who's leaking about his wages? Come on. Let's be really honest here. Who is leaking about Maynou's wages? It ain't Maynou, and it ain't Maynou's agent. It's the club. In my opinion, it's the club. And that's disgusting, isn't it? And if I'm Maynou and I know I'm not leaking the wage, I know it's the club leaking the wage. And then you're thinking, arseholes. So, look, why would the club be leaking about Maynou's wage? And this goes back to what James was saying about taking emotion out of it. Maynou isn't Maynou to Man United. Maynou is money. His name is changed from Maynou to money. In fact, in the boardroom, they might be calling him Money. And someone might go, his name's Maynou. Yeah, but we're calling him Money because he isn't a player. He's money. He's 50, 60 million profit straight in into the club. And I think that's what's behind all of this. The person you've got to get on board, if that's true, is Amorim. But look at what James is saying. Take the emotion out of it. Ruben, this club's on its arse. And you're going to be out on your arse in 12 months, unless you start winning games. And if you want to win games, you clearly want players. And we ain't got the money for players. So you've got to look at that first team and go, I don't want to do this, but if I've got to do it, what players am I going to get rid of? And we're saying to you, take a look at money, Maynou. Do you want to get rid of him? And Amorim probably goes, lads, ladies, if you are, he's 19 and he's talented, of course, I don't want to get rid of him. But if I'm being honest, and that's my only option, if you bring me these two players in for him, they will fit my system better. That might. This is not my words; these are words of James. But they do make sense. Like if they've got Amorim by the balls and they're twisting and going, you've got to get rid of somebody to bring in players, and we're telling you, if you get rid of this player, you'll get two players. Whereas if you get rid of Casemiro, you're going to end up with someone shit. But with Mainoo gone, we can bring you two players in. Two for the price of one, you know? And maybe that's the sad case of things. But then Ruben goes, well, hold on a minute. I know Mainoo's really happy here and he likes it here. Leave that to us. Get the leaks out. Leak about wages. So, you know, I can see that scenario. I can see Amrim going, I don't really want to get rid of him, but the club are saying he's the one to get rid of if you want to bring two players in. And you can bring two players in that suit your system tomorrow, or you can keep developing Mainoo and not get those two players. And Amrim goes, oh, God, I'm in a rock and a hard place. Leave it to us. Mainoo's greedy. Get rid of it. Look at him. Wants 200 grand a week. We'll turn the fans against. You know what? You might not want to do this, but you need to respect how you get manipulated and I get manipulated by this football club. They've been doing it for 20 years. They sit there silently, pulling strings all the time, manipulating you to get what they want. And how many people in the last 24 hours are calling Mainoo a mercenary and this, that and the other? There ain't no way he's leaked that wage stuff. No way. Ollie United, welcome to the Members Club. Mainoo will be worth much more after he signed the new contract, as Rob always United. And the squad is more ready than it seems. The defence is solid. We just need creative players on the wings in the middle. Chris, you know what? You're absolutely spot on. I don't think there's a lot wrong with the defence. I think we need something on the right-hand side. But on the left-hand side, I think Dorgu will get better. Centre-backs, we've got lots of good options there. Goalkeeper's a weakness. Midfield needs work. Number 10s need work. Striker needs work. So I disagree with you, Chris. I think there's a lot that needs to be done. But we know what needs to be done. We need the money. And it goes back to the same conversation again, doesn't it? Don't forget, get your tickets for the Dublin show. Can't wait for this. I was showing earlier the picture of the place and what it's going to be like. This is the Olympia Theatre in Dublin. Three tiers. Get yourself up on the top tier. I'm thinking if I'm going to do a photo op, I might just pop up to one of the tiers and say, you lot get your photos, you lot up yours. But get your tickets. Links in the description and in the live chat, or you can scan that QR code next to me. What a venue. Red seats as well. Yeah, it's going to be cracking. Look, you know, when we start singing, imagine that place. Oh, Robin the Pussy. I'm only singing that because we've got Arsenal tomorrow, but it's going to be a great night. A week on Wednesday in Dublin. Get your tickets while you can. I think stalls is the bottom row, circle is the middle row, and then upper circle is the top row. Absolutely fantastic. And also, I just want to say, look, I'm really looking forward to that night. 10 years of the United Stand. It's going to be magnificent. Can't wait to see some of you there. And it's in a great area of Dublin, Temple Bar, which has got all the old Irish bars. You can get your Guinness and everything like that. Sing songs. It'll be great. Get yourself in a pub around Temple Bar at about 5 and, enjoy the build up. Make an afternoon of it. But also, I just want to give you some applause. It'd be great to see you at the show. But if you're not, you know, regardless of that, this was your idea. And it's gone really well. So I just want to applaud you because we come up with ideas like player ratings and countdown to kickoffs and all sorts of stuff. But so many people have said over the last couple of years, can you put the morning show at least onto a podcast platform so that people can listen to it when they're out and about? And we have. And you can get United Stand. I think we've put all the links in the video description, or you can scan that QR code, go to Spotify. Every 10 o'clock show now goes up onto podcasts, Apple as well, Spotify, etc. So give us a follow. You don't need to listen to it every day, but it's just that option then. If you're out and about or you're on holiday and, you know, YouTube's a bit of a problem, you can listen to it. So even if you haven't used it yet, just give it a follow, and then you've got it in your podcast setup, haven't you? But well done. Because a lot of people mention that, and it's not really my thing, to be honest. I don't really get enough time to listen to podcasts, but I know it's very different to YouTube, and you can just be out and about listening to it, or, you know, doing your gym work or whatever. So brilliant. And thanks. Another great idea from this community. Thank you very much. Apparently as well, there's something new. I tried it out the other day on YouTube, on the community tab. You lot can now post on there. So you can basically, if you think about it like a notice board, we sometimes put stuff up there about the tickets or a new video or whatever like that. Apparently, the community tab on YouTube now, is a community tab where it's not just us that post. You could post something like, I don't think we should go for Pogba, and then people can reply and stuff like that. So check that out as well. It does work because I did it off That's Football saying, hello, bruv. So give it a go. It's a bit like a notice board for the community. Take care, everyone. Don't forget the podcast. Don't forget the tickets for Dublin. We've got a preview coming out this afternoon with Cecil from AFTV and Beth. They always like a link up. I'm live at 8 o'clock Saturday night tonight, but I am busy on That's Football this afternoon. I've got Man City's trip to Forest at 12:30 and I'm doing the 3 o'clock games, but also we'll be keeping an eye on the YouTube All-Stars. Come on, lads. Come on. Let's do it for charity. Thanks everyone for watching. Take care and I'll speak to you all in a bit.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.